have you ever been in a situation where you thought you were getting one thing, but you actually got something else? A big one for me would be the ad for a burger, like at one of the fast food places. And you notice how big and plump and juicy those burgers look. Then when you get it, you wonder, what the heck is this? You're expecting to get one thing based on the advertising, based on what was guaranteed, but then you get something totally different. That's how it is when you're thinking about the JAG. JAG is a system where it's justice against the grain. Hi, my name is Gary, and this is Military Illumination, a podcast where we uncover the truth behind the military enlistment experience. And today I'm going to be talking to you about JAG, the Judge Advocate General, or the JAG system. I also know it as justice against the grain. I'm going to be talking about the players. That means the defense counsel, the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury. We're going to be talking about the arena in which they operate, the fact that it's a closed system and there's no oversight, and also it's punitive in nature. We're going to be discussing a little bit about the economy and what that does for the decisions within the Judge Advocate General system. Why is it important to understand this? It's important to understand this because enlisting, you're going to become part of it. It's going to guide you, and it's going to be the guiding force, the legal aspects while you're in the military. The recruiters mention it. It's like they're letting you know that there is a system in place to handle anything that's legal, which means I think they're trying to get you to think that if there's any problems while they're in the military, that there's a legal system in place. And what they're doing is they're playing upon your perception of a legal situation, legal system. They're playing on the fact that you, a person who's coming in, is believing that the same legal system that they know as civilian is same thing in the military. Okay. And we're going to be talking about that because it isn't. And that's what trips up a lot of people. So as we talk about the JAG system, just another reason to rethink listening in the military. And if you're in, understand what you got yourself into. All right. I call it justice against the grain, which is JAG, okay? Because it's justice in the opposite of what you believe should happen. Okay? It's what you believe is going to happen based on your civilian law. For example, let's look at the players first of all. Okay? Okay, before I look at the players, I want you to just imagine what you have now as a civilian. You watch enough TV shows, even commercials, to know what a courtroom looks like and what the players should be doing. Now I want you to think about the military in the same light. We're going to be comparing. Anything I say, if it's towards the military, automatically think about it's opposite for the civilian. Okay? Or if I say about the civilian life, automatically think it's opposite. It's like doing algebra. Okay? It's opposite effect. Okay? Or should I say the reciprocal. Okay, I never did well in algebra, but that's okay. So the player, let's start with the players. First of all, what you need to understand about JAG is that they're all in the bed together, right? The best way to say it is they all live in the same house. They're buddies, they're friends, okay? And they're also friends of their commanders, okay? They're friends of the commanders because they're the ones that help the commander discipline the soldiers, okay? That being said, chances are that a lot of unethical things that will happen in the course, okay? So you have a defense counsel. It's also known as your detail counsel, or there's one where you can appoint one, where you can get a military person can have someone represent them of their choosing, assigned counsel, right? So you're going to have two types of counsels that can represent someone. Assigned or detailed. Detail means you're it. You're going to represent this person similar to the public defender. Then you have the prosecutor, right? The prosecutors, same thing. They're in the bed with the defenders. They're all one big happy family. The same thing. I don't know much to say about that other than one cannot be junior over the other one. I'll look more into that one. But what you understand is the prosecutors and the defense counselor are linked, and they're linked to the commander. Okay? And then there's the judge. The judge is basically an officer that has passed the bar. They're attorneys, right? It's different than the judges they have in civilian life, I would say. In the civilian life, some of them have to run for office, and the other ones are appointed. But for the most part, they're not directly connected to cases, or they don't have close proximity. And they probably have to do the backdoor stuff. They probably do. But for the most part, they're also in it. And what you understand about the JAG system is they're connected. The interesting twist is when it comes to jury. There's no such thing as jury of peers, because a jury is usually going to be made of high-ranking officers, or who say officers, and senior non-commissioned officers. So if you are a private, you're not going to have other privates on your jury panel, okay? You're not going to have other enlisted, lower enlisted on your jury panel. What you're going to have is officers, okay? Officers that are committed to their friends and their buddy of officers, okay? So you're going to have officers, you're going to have senior enlisted NCOs, E7s, E8s, probably E9s, on a jury. The deck is stacked against you. If you go to a court-martial situation, it's stacked against you. First of all, the evidence will be manipulated, okay? So let me just, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole. The bottom line is this. It's you're compromised with that system. And you couple that with the lack of accountability, which means that the fairness doctrine is in play, which means that they don't have to honor your rights as written, and they can discard what they want to in order to get the prosecution, in order to get the conviction. That's what you got to understand when you're dealing with. That's why I keep saying it's against the grain. When you understand that was what you're getting yourself into, right, then you can make a decision. Now, it doesn't happen to everyone, but as I say, people, you get an assist, you can get a legal play in numerous ways, right? But once you're there, this is what you're faced with. There's non-judicial punishment. I'll talk about that later. That is just basically you being punished at the company level or battalion level, brigade level, without the benefit of a judicial process, okay? And your commander will probably send you to JAG, and they'll give you some sad story why they can't help you. But in the end, it's non-judicial punishment. It's what the commander wants. It's like being punished, okay? But I don't want to go here, but I might go there. It's like in the days, I'm not going to go there. I was going to talk about slavery, but I'm not going to go there. So that's what it is. The arena, okay, the arena in which this operates, I think I mentioned already, it was just the Ferris Doctrine, which basically means that the military cannot be held accountable. And most importantly, the enlisted person cannot sue the government for, let's say, malpractice or negligence, especially legal negligence. So basically, they're not going to be held accountable. The system is closed. It's not transparent. In civilian life, everything's transparent. You can see if a case being tried, you can go to the court, county clerk, or the courthouse and get all the documentation. You can see all the motions that have been filed. You can see when the hearings are, all that stuff, right? It's transparent, not in the military. The military is not transparent. Okay, they work behind closed doors. And if a civilian person or, let's say, a congressional leader wants to inquire, they're going to just tell them they're not going to get the information out. And you'll never know the outcome of a situation. You'll never know the outcome of a situation, especially if you brought your congressional hearing, your congressional inquiry into it. So that's the arena. That is the environment that you're dealing with. Not only are you dealing with the military environment that is exclusive, right? Means that nothing gets in, nothing goes out. Now you're dealing with even a tighter circle, which is a legal system that you're going to be involved in. Does it happen to everyone? You can never say. It's what it is. But that's what you're getting yourself into when you enlist in the military. And the recruiters, when they hand the paperwork, they would gloss over that really fast. I remember when I went in, and he basically said, you're going to have 100 UCMJ, there's any problems, there's courts, we're going to go, we have our own military courts and everything like that. I felt secure. I felt, wow, if something happens to me while I'm in, I got legal help. That's what most people think. That's wrong thinking.
Okay.
You're isolated. You're on an island. You're only useful to the extent that they want you to be useful to. There's no oversight. I mentioned that before. It's closed. Encapsulated. No one can help you. Okay. And it's punitive in nature. JAG is punitive in nature. That's pure and simple. It's designed for quick, swift legal action. And the fact that they're not held accountable, they're going to do whatever they want to do. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And just be good with it. And in autonomy, they can be able to self-rule. So a person, even if there was an inquiry into a practice, they have the right to make their own decisions. And a person, an entity outside the military, cannot make them change. Okay? So you got to understand that. One government agency cannot tell another agency what to say. That's from the words of an aide from Patty Murray several years ago. Okay. So I can go on and on, but that's the foundation. If you do any research, into that, this is what you're going to find. My firsthand experience has been with this type of situation. There's cases like in the civilian courts, United States versus DiNardo, okay, or United States versus Scott, and even my friend, where their rights were violated and there's nothing they could have done, and the congressional leaders refused to intervene. In this case, the Gregory Goodell, he was the detailed counsel at the time, flat out refused. He even sent a letter to this person saying that he wasn't going to represent him. And he didn't. And the judge didn't make him. He had to get himself another attorney, a civilian attorney, who was ex-JAG, who basically sold him down the river, right? But that's what happened. Those are kind of things that happens in JAG. In this case with the National Guard thing, Robin Davis, he was the JAG officer. They manipulated evidence, violated their rights, took away their rights, didn't have any counsel. The Wright Williams, I believe that was the name of the military judge from 81st Infantry here in Washington. He's since retired. He's an attorney in Des Moines, Washington. Patty Murray's office, even though they knew about it, they couldn't do anything about it. The governor's office, they knew about it, couldn't do anything about it. Okay? There's plenty of cases. I keep pushing out there, cases out there that you can use as an example. But for the most part, when you think of JAG, this is what you have to think about. It's basically justice against the grain.
Okay.
And it's sad in a way, but that's it. That's it. JAG officers, they operate in a land of make-believe, basically. They don't have to do anything. The impact of JAG, basically, on the military career and civilian employment, the impact is they can negatively impact future employment opportunities for a person, depending on the outcome of a case. Non-judicial punishment can impact a person that discharged from the military. Everything that happens in the military follows you. On the DD-214, it's a record of enlistment, and it follows you. Especially if you want to get a state or federal government job, they're going to look at that. Anything less than an honorable discharge will reduce your opportunities for employment after the military.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is that a person doesn't even have to have done anything wrong. What is the nature of JAG? The nature of JAG is that they operate without accountability in a world that is sheltered and not held accountable.
Okay.
JAG is punitive in nature.
Right.
And for the most part, they don't have no fear of being sued,
okay?
So when you think of JAG, when you think of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, think about it as a situation where when it matters in your best interest, they will act counter to that. If the evidence is in your favor, they will behave counter to that. Just understand that. And I know it sounds like I'm bashing the military and bashing the JAG, but it is what it is. It is what it is. I'm not making things up. This is what you're dealing with. Thank you for listening to my podcast, and I applaud you for sticking with me at this point. Share what you heard, whether you agree or disagree with my position. I encourage you the next time you listen to this session to take notes, ask questions, and do your own research. As for me, this podcast is the accumulation of over 30 years' experience, not just as a member of the Army, but firsthand perspective. As I navigated the system in courts, correspondence, different military departments, civilian departments, intervene, research, dealing with the court systems. The issue is not that the military is bad, but the predatory and discriminatory nature of the military. That's the issue. Come back next time, where we'll talk more about JAG, Judicial Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 15.